holy life. Their spiritual life is supposed to be holy. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're taking our time going through these subjects because they're not just things to learn. These are truths that have to be implemented, that have to be integrated into our life. And it takes a while before the truths sink in. And I, just to tell you the truth, I just enjoy studying it. I get so much out of spending time studying. And I guess I'm kind of like the great cook in the kitchen. You know why, if I were a cook, you know why I would like to cook? Because I'd get to eat it all along. I get to sample and taste it. You know, when I'm getting a chance to study, I get the benefit of that study first. And so you can always tell something that I'm enjoying just because I love to just stay in it and just keep preaching on it or whatever. So I'm enjoying this study. We're talking about particularly walking in the Spirit. God bless you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine. Ephesians 5:18, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he lists some things. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can tell when somebody's filled with the Spirit. You can tell when they're singing to the Lord or they're putting on a show. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verse 21, probably the hardest verse of it, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, those three verses deal with the prohibition of drink and drunkenness. Wine has excess in it. You start messing with it, it messes with you. Just like pornography. Pornography, by its very nature, will ruin you. Amen? You can't moderately mess with it any more than you can moderately mess with a riot. Or that you can moderately mess with murder. You can't moderately murder anyone, amen? Do you understand? So the excess is in the wine. And the Bible prohibits the Christian from drinking and especially from getting drunken. There's a lot of confusion, and we already talked about these things about being filled with the Spirit. What do most people think a person will do if they're filled with the Spirit? When I say most, it's because of the influence of the charismatic. Sorry. Speak in tongues, is that what you're going to say? Yeah. Speak in tongues. That is the proof that you're filled with the Spirit. That is the furthest thing from the truth. The confusion is, the moment you were saved, you were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. He took you out of being in sin and put you in Christ. And the moment He did, He moved into your heart and He waits to fill up your day and your hours with His thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. But believe me, He wants to teach you His ways. He wants to give you the mind of Christ. Amen? So, there's a lot of confusion about it, so I'm trying to sort of lay some groundwork and make sure some things are very simple and firm in your mind. If somebody's saved, what can they say? They can say, I have the Holy Spirit of God. That is, end of story, you have God's Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Okay? He is the seal. He is the proof that you're going to get into heaven. Not some prayer you prayed, but some yielding you did when He moved into your life. So we ask somebody, when does a Christian get baptized with the Holy Spirit and when does he get filled? That's what we've answered over the last few weeks. You get baptized the moment you got saved. And you get filled, hello, on a moment-by-moment basis. The command to be filled with the Spirit is where we're focusing. It is absolutely necessary for a Christian to be filled with the Spirit. Not just be saved, not just have fire insurance, but it is absolutely imperative that we be filled with the Spirit. Let's see. It is a command when he says in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, is a command just as authoritative, just as important as thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. Now, There is no growing without being filled with the Holy Spirit. You ever taken a plant and you haven't put water in it for 6 weeks? Guess what that plant's going to do? He's going to die. But if you put a good more portion of water in there, no matter what the heat and no matter what situation, that plant will thrive because it's constantly soaking up. It's constantly trying to fill up with that water and the nutrients. Now, when to be filled with the Spirit simply means to give Him freedom to occupy every part of your life. Name me a part of your life. I know it's kind of bad, but let me give you one of them. Your mind. He ought to fill your mind with right thoughts. Amen? What other areas do we have that He ought to occupy and fill up? Somebody tell me. Raise your hand. Yes, sir. Yes. Have us. Amen. So where are some areas that the Holy Spirit needs to occupy in my life? Yes, sir. All right. In my prayer time. He ought to be dominant, not me. You know, we're like spoiled brats coming to God telling Him what we want. Yes, sir. Good. How so? He should direct our path. Should take us out. Go soul winning. What other area should the Holy Spirit dominate and take control of? Okay, my actions. Ooh, okay. So my actions and my reactions. Mona? Your heart. Amen. He should fill up your heart so that your heart, no matter how grieved, no matter how low, no matter how depressed, no matter how excited, whether we live, Paul says, or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen? Maureen, did you have your hand up?
Second commandment, we should concentrate and keep the commandments.
Okay, well good. I found that it's impossible for my flesh to keep the Ten Commandments, but when I'm walking in the Spirit, it's easy. It's easy. So, Tony, did you have your hand up or did I see somebody else? All right. These are areas the Holy Spirit should be free to work in. How about your future? Should He be free to say, I don't want you to do such and such. I've got another plan. How about your past? Should He be free to say, I was working there too. You just didn't notice me. You know, when we let Him dominate, it sure does make life a whole lot easier. Amen? Now, the concept of being filled with something. I talked to you last week about we understand this when we compare it to somebody being filled with drink, when being filled with alcoholic beverages. People, I know that they have this idea that they just drink moderately and they just, you know, they just have a few marijuana or cannabis cigarettes and all of these things. But you know what? They're not being honest with you because you haven't seen them when they've been on a binge. And you've seen somebody who's been filled with drink. And you've seen somebody who's been filled with anger. You've seen when your own, you can look back at your own life and see how your own life was filled with your own ways. You've seen it when people were filled with envy. What did they say about the Pharisees? Pilate himself figured out, he says, it was for envy that they had delivered Jesus to be crucified. They were filled with envy. And it's nice to be filled with love, amen? You read Song of Solomon and you see two people totally consumed with passion and love for each other. Now, so to be consumed, controlled by substance. I think that's why God chose drink. He says, you know, when somebody gets drunk, guess what they're doing? They're losing control, aren't they? But that drink doesn't give them any benefit at all, does it? They may think that, oh, this is better. No. Give it 10 hours, let's see if it's still better. Amen? But the moment that you yield control to the Holy Spirit, I'll give you one guess whether you're better off or not. much better. Amen. Do you know drink changes you? Did you know that? If Bill, and if I ever see you drunk, I'm killing you. But if Bill ever got drunk, would you recognize and go, Bill, that's not you. Bill, I've never seen you. Bill, this is out of character, correct? The drink will change him. Did you know the Holy Spirit will change you too?
Amen.
Amen? You cannot be the same if you are filled with drink, and you cannot be the same if you are filled with the Spirit. So, we're talking about the concept of being filled is to be consumed or controlled by, to be overwhelmed. That, like that broken alabaster box I said last week, when they broke that alabaster box, the body odor of everybody in that room disappeared. It overwhelmed. It filled the room. Amen? Our old life, our flesh, is totally filled with evil. I know you don't want to admit it. But you know, every time you read that Bible, it says, Paul says to Titus, in the book of Titus, he says that when Jesus comes back, he will change. Are you ready for this? You ought to put this as one of those verses right next to the mirror in the morning when you're looking at it. Who shall change our vile bodies? What a strong verse, amen. Job, and all of his best efforts, all of his own righteousness, you know what he said when he finally faced off with God? Guess what he said? I am vile. That's a big word. So, the goal of the Christian should be to become full of all the fullness of God. To be full of all the spiritual fruits. How many fruits are there?
Nine.
Now, I bet you there's somebody you love. I bet you there's somebody that you enjoy, you have joy with. I bet there are times when you're at peace. Amen? You ever heard about the parents saying, our children are angels, and then they wake up. There are times when you're at peace. Amen? There are times long-suffering actually will put up with other people. The key is to be filled with it so that you're constantly filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And you should be full of the Spirit of God. These are four things that are noted in your New Testament. Now, how to get filled? That's our goal. How to get filled and stay filled with God's Spirit. First of all, last week I said seek it. I'm going to change it to a P word just for fun. Pursue it. You read in there, in the book of Psalms, David actually, he says, I am pursuing you. I want to know what it's like to be with your likeness, David cries out. Then you've got Paul in Philippians. He says, brethren, I have not apprehended. Now, what's the word apprehended mean?
Caught.
I like to take hold of. What is Paul trying to catch? The Lord Jesus Christ. He says that I may win Christ. Unique phrase. Incredible concept. He says, my life, I'm trying to apprehend. I want to finally get to the place where I and Christ are one. Amen? He says, I haven't apprehended it yet, but I'm hot on his trails. That's cool. Amen? Pursue. So last week we talked about pursuing with all our energy, pursuing being filled. It's just like a drunk who, when he gets it in his head, when a little chemical switch goes on and all he can do, like a Frankenstein, is head into the pub because he's addicted to it. He is seeking it. He can't think of anything else except that drink. Wouldn't it be nice if that person got transformed so all he could think about is the Holy Spirit of God taking control of his life and the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified by his life. So the first thing you've got to do, as we talked about last week, is to hunger for God. Now, the second thing we're going to talk about tonight is to purge. This is much harder. Much harder. And really, it's one thing to seek, amen? It's one thing to want. Let's give an illustration, all right? Here's a guy, he's single. And he just can't get a date. He shouldn't date, but I'm using an illustration, amen? He just can't get a date. And somebody sits down and says, you know what your problem is? I'll give you one word, deodorant. Get the thought here for a minute. He says, You mean all this time, girls don't want to sit next to me, girls don't want to talk to me, because, no, there's another thing. Toothpaste. Now, what is my crude illustration? My crude illustration is this. Alright? It's one thing to seek God, and then not find Him, and to find out there's something wrong with us. Is there something wrong with God? When we pray and He doesn't answer, is it God's problem?
No,
it's mine. So, you ought to, I think most people don't have the filling of the Spirit primarily because they don't want it. They don't think it's important. They don't think that it is that vital energy that has to be in their life or they're going to die. They don't believe that. But after they want it, just like that young man trying to get a date, he's got to be willing to do what it takes to get somebody to notice him. Amen? And a Christian has to do something called purge. Let's take our Bibles, look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy 1, 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. All right, 2 Timothy 2:21. I'll work from the back forward. Let's see. St. Paul. 2 Timothy 2:21. Amen. Now he says the things that you ought to purge yourself from are worthless items in your life. Things that if you had a cat or a dog, you probably had a feeding dish, yes or no? Alright. Now what is that feeding dish only good for? The cat or the dog. End of story. Amen. Not for the husband. Are you listening, ladies? Okay. You heard about the guy who was asking forgiveness from his wife. She says, no problem, you know, they got into a fight. He says, you forgive me? Oh yeah, I forgive you last week. Really? Really? Yes. No, I had no problem with forgiving you. I've been able to go on. Really? Thank you. That's very sweet of you. That's very good of you. And she said, that's okay. I've just been using your toothbrush to clean the toilet with for the last week. Oh man, don't get any ideas. The point is this. If we're like that cat bowl, all right? If we want to be used for something more, what would you do with that cat bowl? If you wanted to elevate that cat bowl to a punch bowl or to a cereal bowl, what would you do with that cat bowl? You would sanitize, you'd melt it down, and you would purge out anything that related to the cat. Amen? Or the dog. You're not true. All right. So that's the same thing of the concept that we're trying. I need to look at myself and go, what is there that is hindering the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Something that's blocking Him filling me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 now. Back to the left. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Here's our key word again. The Apostle John in the back. He's actually, never mind. 1 John 5, 7. I said 1 John. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. He is our 1 John, amen. Please, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. No, that's in verse 5. Verse 7. Here you have a lump of dough. And he's comparing it to Christians. He says, make sure that your bread dough, make sure your fellowship, make sure all of you together has no leaven in it. Amen? We welcome everybody. Amen? But we don't want people to stay the same. The phrase that is really the best is enter as you are. Come as you are. Believe as He is. Amen? So we need to purge out the old, what's leaven compared to in the Bible? Sin. It's yeast. It affects the dough. Oh, it makes it full of air. We don't want a church full of hot air. We want it full of pride and full of self. Keep it simple, flat. I don't care if we don't have... There were years we had no music. Remember that? I tried with an accordion. I'm trying to do this thing. Put that thing down. Everybody was leaving. It was terrible. Amen. But you know, I'd rather have a flat, empty kind of worship style if I could just have the power of God. Amen. And have the truth and the preaching of the Word of God. So, purge out any leaven that we may be unleavened, that we may have a pure lump. Now, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let's go to the right again. Leon, do you remember how to read in English? Well, better learn quick. 2 Corinthians 7:1. All right, question. Who's in charge of cleaning up my life? Me. Now, can I do it alone? No. But I'm in charge of picking up my life. If a man therefore shall purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Amen. If there would be a spiritual inventory, where I would find things that are blocking the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, and if I would purge it. You know what purge means? Let me give you the vernacular. Flush. Amen? Aren't you glad your toilet has an out? Amen? You wouldn't stay in the house that didn't have an out. Amen? I hope I don't have to go any further. Please don't. Amen. Purge, which means we let a lot of stuff back up. Somebody told us when we moved into our house, they didn't tell us before we moved in, they told us after we moved in. And Brother Dennis, you might have known about this because it was before our time. But they built houses back behind us. And the sewerage that was put in there in Westcourt Heights was built for Westcourt. There are two estates in our estate. There's Westcourt and Westcourt Heights. Now there's three. All right, there's a back group as well. So, and when they were building the new houses, all of a sudden, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but it's a great illustration. All of a sudden, the sewage from up at the top of the hill was coming out at the bottom of the hill. You wouldn't stay there very long, and you'd want it fixed real quick, wouldn't you? Why do we allow stuff to back up in our hearts and stay in our hearts that only defiles us? Amen? Why do we keep records? Why do we let the devil keep such filth in our lives? Why don't we just what? Flush. Purge. Say bye-bye. I'm not remembering you anymore. Amen? 1 John 3:3. To the right. 1 John. Almost to Revelation. 1 John 3:3. Michaela. Can you read? Good. She went to school.
First John 3:3.
Now the hope is, I'm going to heaven. And if I got the hope of heaven, do you really think that the Holy Spirit would put inside of you that because you're going to heaven, now I can live in sin? Would the Holy Spirit actually put that inside the believer? No. Every man that has this hope of going to be with Jesus, guess what we do? We clean. You know, ladies are getting ready to go to this ladies retreat. You know, as they get closer and closer, do you know what most ladies are going to do? They're going to clean house. They're going to organize and pack. They're going to be getting ready for the trip. Amen? And you know, I'm telling you, I'm saved 27 years. The closer I get, the more I want to pack. Amen? To heaven. And there's just this desire. Whew, love being clean. Now, purging is this. A removal of anything that takes the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's purging. And it's the hardest part of the process because we've gotten used to things as they are. Amen? You hear about the husband and the wife, and he's sitting there in the old couch. It's 58 years old. She says, let's go dump this thing. Dump it! It fits perfectly, you know? Guys don't change, do we? Amen? We like things just the way they are. Nod your head, ladies. You know it. We like things the way they are. But you know that also transfers into the spiritual realm. We're hard to change, aren't we? My wife's saying amen inside with a shout. The hardest part is because we're used to ourselves and we don't know how to take a look at ourselves and be willing to pay the price to clean up our act so the Holy Spirit has more of us. So, let's talk about some principles and truths. Last week I used a simple cup. Let me just teach you some things. Number one, the Holy Spirit, I know it's deep, are you ready? Is a spirit. That means He's like air. And I gave you an illustration. I'm not going to do anything more than just take and just pretend like this is a cup. Right now, did you know that cup is full? Did you know that? It is perfectly full of air. Did you know that? It looks empty to you and I, but it is completely filled up with air. And I'm going to change your way of thinking. Now, I want to be filled with the Spirit. God is a Spirit, isn't He? All right. So if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, and I come along and I take milk, and I pour milk in there, where's the air going to go?
Out.
Now, if I want to be filled with air, what do I have to do with the milk? Get rid of the milk. The milk displaces the Spirit. We think the Holy Spirit, boy, He's going to put up a fight. No, sir. When the Lord Jesus, He's outside, and in a church there in Revelation chapter 3 called the Church of Laodicea, they've gotten so full of themselves, materialism, their own way.